This is Katie and Kate Carbondale. Support for Katie and Kate comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. 970-948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBear, from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good.
We're in the dog days of summer.
Boy, are we.
Yeah. It's, have you looked at any of the infrared imaging maps from the big fire out in Rifle? Have you, like, gone deep nerding in on that?
You know, I got to kind of dial down to, I use Air Now and use their smoke map.
Uh-huh.
And you get...
So is that like purple air? Is that the same kind of deal? Or
it's purple air and with the EPA.
Okay.
And so it's called Air Now. It's available on iPhone and Android.
Got it.
But they have a local section, so you can look at your AQI. So it's Glenwood. It's good. And then you can look at the smoke map. Yeah. It'll give you a smoke overlay, and then it'll give you some of the larger fires. It'll show you.
Oh, that's cool, man. So, like, I'll have to check that one out.
There's that little orange dot off to the left there. So I've been watching the Lee fire, and it'll show satellite detected fire as basically these orange dots. The other day when it was really active, so you could see which draws were active as opposed to just being the outline of the fire.
Yeah. Wow, you one-upped me on that one, man. that's way easier to use. Yeah, I use we should maybe talk about technology and wildfires really quick for a few minutes. Before that, we should tell everybody that our number is 970-963-2976. And we were kind of entertaining the idea of having a Ask Me Anything Day. Of course, your time would be best used asking us stuff about computers, but we do know some stuff about some other things. So, if you want my opinion of the Broncos' second string quarterback, I am all mouth as far as that is concerned. So,
and his hair doesn't even have any arms.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine does, though.
Nice. But, we want to encourage call-ins. We haven't had a lot of call-ins lately. We appreciate the ones that we've had, but we are here to be called into. That's was one of the original, one of the original mission statements of GeekSpeak years ago when Mark Burrows created it. So we're here to help, of course. If you do call in, do so safely. Use your hands-free rig in your car. Pull off to the side just in case we give you some earth-shattering news that might make you wreck. Like we tell you that your 7-year-old hard drive's probably going to crash.
And, yeah, there's a 10% chance, annualized chance that your 7-year-old
hard drive. That smell that you smell is probably the smoke that needs to be put back into your computer to get it to run right. So let's see. You were what was the one you were calling? Smoke map? Was that what it was called?
So you go to Air Now, and then you go to their smoke map. So they have a local one for
and,
like.
And is that a website or an app?
Air Now. It's from the EPA, so I think you can.
Okay.
I think you can get it from in either flavor, but I'm using the app on my phone. That's where I consume it mostly. But it has a smoke map. They overlay some of the fire data on it, so you can see where the fire is, and then that also overlays. Like a fire activity thing. So the Lee fire is not very active. Let me see if I can find one.
Yeah, I noticed the perimeter on the watch duty map.
Here we go.
The perimeter of it has turned gray now. Did you see that?
Here's the Stoner Mesa incident.
Okay.
See those orange.
Those stoners.
Yeah. this is using a satellite detection for the fire, and it overlays that. So if a fire happens, like, last night, you might see a fire, one of these orange dots out by itself, and then a day or two.
A spark that flew out.
Yeah, exactly. Lightning strike or something. Something that a satellite has detected.
Oh, got
and
it.
It'll, I can't remember what it is. But,
cool.
Anyway, so it shows that. So it's somewhat a little ahead of, so like watching the Lee fire, that one would actually update. So you'd see the fire burning, some of the other draws, and then the next day they would update the perimeter and it would engulf that section that had the fire detection on
exactly.
it. The night before.
Yeah. Cool. I'm definitely going to check that out. The one I've been using, if you just need a quick and dirty, air quality rating, you can just go to purpleair.org and just basically click the link right in the middle of the screen. It says View Map or Explore Map, I think it's called. And you can basically navigate around it and see just exactly what the air quality rating is. I believe, is that on a scale of 0 to 500 or something, or 1 to 500?
Well, it's based on the particle count of 2.5 micron particles.
Okay.
So there's no...
What the PPM is of the 2.5 microns?
Yeah, so when you're saying AQ, and I think there's a little bit of a slide there.
I love this jargon. I love it.
Yeah, so if you're looking at an AQI, it's basically kind of parts per million of that size particle. There's other...
Okay.
Depending, I think the EPA one has like a 5-micron sensor and a 10-micron sensor and the 0.2.
Okay.
So they'll look at different sizes, but I think for most people who have respiratory things, the 2.5 micron is
get sketchy.
Yeah. And it goes up to, you know, I think the highest I saw it with the Lee fire and the fire and the smoke in Glenwood was just shy of 400.
Got it.
You know, and anything over like, anything over like 50 is considered, you know, poor air quality.
Yeah. You know, my daughter lived in Shanghai for about 18 months, and they were constantly, you know, you see these pictures of people in China wearing masks, and it's because their AQI is like up in the 300 and 400s.
Yeah, I wore a mask.
And that's on a good day. That's on a, it's not, they're not just trying to dodge the latest Chinese lab manufactured virus. And that's just a conspiracy theory. I don't believe in it. But they're not just trying to do that. They're trying to like not breathe 2.5 micron particulate into their lungs regularly. So anyway, I strongly recommend people don't realize, and there can be, you can't even equate the air quality to the visual aspect of it. Yeah, sometimes it's like, oh, I can't see Mount Sopers. I'll bet you the air quality is really bad. But there are days when you can see Mount Sopers from Glenwood and you'll log in and it'll still be rocking like a 157 or something in Carbondale, you know. I guess it's that smoke layer that you're talking about in the app.
Yeah, it can also be pollen and other things. Depending on the size of the pollen.
That pesky pollen.
I think that'll push up the numbers sometime in the spring.
Yeah. So we've talked about that app, and then the new arrival on the scene. I don't remember Watch Duty ever in the past.
No, because I always just went to the Incident Web.
InstaWeb, yeah.
Yeah, Incident Web from...
But man, that's some serious fire nerds.
It's serious, yeah.
Yeah, you got to have your Makita drill to drill down on that thing. You know, but anyway, if y'all are looking for a good place for easily consumable fire information, watchduty.org is the go-to year.
By the same name. So,
yeah.
And they're a nonprofit. So
have you watched any of the briefings on Watch Duty?
No, I have not.
I'll tell you, man, I'm such a nerd. I'm just a hopeless nerd. I love watching those things. And, you know, I'll be the first one to say I don't understand half of what they're saying. But the lingo, you know, the nomenclature that they use, you know, they have their own whole set. You know, it's like, yeah, we're trying to, like, mop up some lingering smokes and, and it's pretty easy to decode what that means necessarily. But, we've got some extreme torching behavior going on over here in Division Mike, you know. And it's just, I don't know, I just nerd out on it and I just go, man, I want to be a guy who like gets on camera and talks like that, you know, talks like he really knows what he's talking about. So but let us not bypass the fact that we really appreciate the heck out of the people that those young buff people who are out on the fire lines doing the hard work, because it is hard work. And only by virtue of the hard work that they're doing, was I not in an evacuation zone? Because, I mean, shoot, I live just down the road from Rifle Reservoir, and they evacuated the prison camp up by Rifle Reservoir. And that was a kind of a come to Jesus moment for us, you know. And we didn't quite get out the bank boxes yet, but, I mean, it was, you know, we were close. Mm-hmm. So, yep. So let's see. Once again, 970-963. Oh, do we have a call?
Mm-hmm.
Don't call. Somebody already called.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, it's Craig. How are you?
Doing well.
We're good. I knew I could count on you, man. Come through for us.
Louie, I didn't know you were pretty much my neighbor.
Where do you live, man?
I live a block and a half from downtown Rifle.
Oh, okay. Well, I live in Newcastle, so is that...
Oh, you said you were below where the penitentiary, you have to go through Rifle to get to there.
No, you can go across Grass Valley from Harvey Gap. So
no, not the same.
It's one of my favorite motorcycle rides. I head up Harvey Gap Road and then go over by Rifle Reservoir, drop down into Rifle, stop and get some hot wings, and head on home. So,
oh, good.
So, yeah.
Well, next time you're in the area. But I went to both of the community meetings.
Uh-huh.
And you're correct. They were, most of them were very, very well spoken.
Yeah.
And they explained things, at least to my satisfaction, because I've looked at a lot of the sites. We pay attention.
Uh-huh.
We had things more packed up than you did.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
to
definitely.
Go, our camper and stuff. So.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But, and so everyone was really good, except I will have to say this, that Representative Hurd was there.
Uh-huh.
And he gave a blessing to the oil and gas people that they stay safe and nothing happens to their stuff. And since they wouldn't let us say anything, I wanted to just go, yeah, let's thank them for climate change.
Okay.
I mean, it really, he went on and on about, well, let's just hope nothing happens to the oil and gas people who are so important to us. You know,
uh-huh.
Screw yourself.
I got news for you, man. They can rebuild those things, and they got plenty of money to do it with. So
yeah, well, it turns out that they're going to build, put 39 more in 5 miles from Rifle.
The
county commissioners just okayed it. Mm-hmm. 5 miles from here.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
But that's not why we're talking about this.
Yeah,
the community people
exactly.
were good. These guys, the incident people commanders, were really excellent. You saw
yeah.
them. They're very well spoken.
Yeah,
and it wasn't the geek speak you're making it out to be.
Well, maybe not in the community meeting, but have you watched the YouTube video briefings that Jeremy Dietz does? Because it is full on geek, man.
Oh no,
it's full
no,
on
I
fire
haven't
geek.
Seen that.
Yeah. Go to watchduty.org. Tap on the Lee Fire and scroll through the sidebar, and about two-thirds of the, you know, halfway down is a link to the YouTube video, and so you can behold the geekdom of it yourself.
Oh. So, okay, yeah. Well, we're over 60% contained, and that's
good deal.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, and they're actually transitioning. They're transitioning that management team out today.
Yes.
They're bringing in another.
That's because they have to do 14 days.
Yeah, but they're bringing in another one of the same level. They're not downgrading.
Right.
They're bringing
Correct.
another complex incident management team. So, anyway,
yeah, that's the rule. They're only allowed to do 14 days.
Yeah,
at
I
a
mean,
time, so
I would make some disparaging remark about 14 days in Meeker is enough, but.
Oh, that's sad.
I'm sorry.
I have a lot of clients in Meeker, so we love Meeker.
See, you know what? Everybody's saying that Meeker's the new Carbondale, and I'm just waiting to experience it, man. You know.
Well, so. Somebody from New York, a real rich guy, has his private jets fly in there,
uh-huh.
and he owns a whole bunch of land on the way up towards Trapper's Lake. So.
Yeah. Well, it's inevitable. So, but hey, yes. Thanks a lot for your
All
call,
right,
man. Great to talk to you.
See ya.
Take care. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah.
I was just given our number, 970-963-2976, if you want to call and add some fuel to the fire. so that's a Rifle resident, Craig, calling in, one of our regular callers. And, I was actually amazed that they never ended up evacuating the main part of Meeker. I mean, Meeker never, itself never got, I think you got another call.
All right.
Wow. Ask Us Everything's working today.
You're on with the geeks.
That's the first time I've heard about Meeker being the new Carbondale. So we need to tell everybody to move there.
Yep. And you know what? I've got a friend who's a realtor up there, and I'd be more than happy to give you her number off air. She'd love to hear from you.
I've got recordings of a lot of shows that I've done on KDNK. There's hundreds and hundreds of files.
Uh-huh.
And and they live on an external hard drive. It amounts to about a terabyte of stuff. And my external hard drive is a 6 terabyte hard drive, and it's full.
Wow.
So I thought, okay, well, it's time to move all of those recordings onto another external hard drive. But, of course, if I do that, the destination pathway changes for all of those shows that, you know, are in my iTunes. If I move it to another folder, right? I mean, isn't that what's going to happen?
So you want to take it, Matt?
I would say this is on Windows, correct?
You're on Microsoft Windows, right, Luke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
So what I was going to say is run your, you know, get your larger one and then use a tool to copy it over and confirm the migration. Right. Well, confirm the copy. I just keep the old one as a.
So let's back it up a little bit. My recommendation, and I think Matt's as well, your best bet would be to use, I use a free tool called Unstoppable Copier that you can download for free on the internet. And you basically, it's actually called Roadkill's Unstoppable Copier. You use that program and you just basically point it to the old hard drive as the source, and then you point it to the new hard drive as the destination, and then you hit the copy button, and then it goes to town. And if it comes across any corrupted files that it has trouble copying, it'll try like 20 times to copy them, and then if it can't get it, it'll move on to the next thing. If you just use Windows, if you just drag and drop it over, then the minute Windows comes across a file that it is like even has the slightest question about, it'll halt the whole thing and you'll have to restart it all over again. From the beginning. So there's nothing worse than getting 3.5 terabytes into a transfer like that and having it fail. And then having to start all over again. That's for sure. Yeah, but anyway, I'll let Matt take it from there. That's what he's talking about is like a copying tool.
Yeah. I would use a command line tool called rclone.
Yeah, that's another one.
They can do those kinds of things. It'll retry and. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have as many. It's designed for doing stuff to the cloud, but you can do location to location copy with it. But with that much data, you probably want something that if something goes wrong, you don't have to start over.
Mm-hmm.
So like what Louis mentioned. So what I was going to say is basically you do your copy, and then you can assign. So let's say your
you
old
disconnect
one is,
the old drive. Yep. First,
so you figure out what it is. Let's say it's E. And so the new one is F, so you've copied everything from E drive to F drive. And then you disconnect your old one and just put it on the shelf because the data's still good.
Never bad to have a spare copy.
Yep.
So.
And maybe it'd be a good time to do something like spin write.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But basically, you disconnect your old one, and then the new one's on F, and you go into, you right-click and go to properties and go to settings and reassign it from F drive to E drive. And
then all of a sudden
it's E,
everything's groovy. So as long as the folders get put onto the new drive and exactly like, in other words, when you open the window of the E and the F drive and you see exactly the same list of folders, as long as you see the same list of folders when you first open the drive, then you're in good shape.
Yeah. Cause you can arbitrarily assign, whatever drive letter, to an external drive, as long as it's not, C.
As long as it doesn't conflict with another drive that's connected. Right. So
exactly.
But when you get to that point, once you get all the data copied over, just give us a ring or hit us up before the show and we'll show you, draw you a picture on how to do it. So, okay.
Well, I don't see the point of not erasing it from the hard drive it's on now, because I'm trying to accomplish more space on that drive.
Oh,
I thought I just heard you say I shouldn't do that. I should keep it on there.
I would consider, well, because you have the 3-2-1 rule of backup. So you need it in 3 locations, and then you need it in 2 geographic locations. And what's the last one?
I don't know.
I can't remember. I don't know. So, but
it's just the 3-2 solution.
It's a 3.
It's like 3-2 beer, man.
Yeah. Let's see. What is it? Let me look it up real quick. 3-2.
Mickey's.
Yeah, baby. So,
but my, because basically the bottom line is that I don't trust a hard drive for at least 3 months.
Yeah. Well, you got too many spins. The old drive has spun too many times. And
the new drive hasn't spun enough.
Yeah, exactly. So you definitely want to at least allow at least a 90-day overlap to make sure that the new one's working right. That's a great point. And then, and then once you get down to that point, I generally recommend to people with old external drives that have been used, you know, extensively, which I know yours has, with old external drives like that, you kind of earmark them for like an archive drive. You know, you go ahead and, well, either keep it like it is or wipe it and just put things that, you know, and pretty much plan on, because every minute a drive is connected to a computer and spinning, it's basically taking life off the drive. So, you basically, just put, you know, letters from grandma on there. And, you know, the pictures you took on your flip phone back in the 80s, stuff like that. That's what's on my old hard drives. So
the 3-2-1 backup rule is three copies of your data. Your three copies include your original or production data plus two more copies. So on, let's see, on two different medias, you should store your data on two different forms of media. This means something different today than what it did in 2000. So, you know, mm-hmm. zip drives or something.
Yeah.
And let's see here.
Zip drive.
And then one copy offsite, you know, so somewhere else. I had a client that had to do HIPAA compliance. So I had to ended up doing an M disk DVD burner. So I have you can put 100 gigs on a DVD. And that DVD is basically made out of plastic. It's made out of a mineral. So as long as it's stored correctly, you should be able to store it for 1,000 years. So if there's things that are very important to you, you want to put it on something that is more durable than a hard drive. A hard drive is going to last a decade, you know, maybe 15 years out here where it's dry. So it's just a matter of, you know, making sure that the data is the part that is of value. The hardware that the data is stored on is expendable. So, and then I touched on another tool. There's a tool called, I think it's SpinWrite, and basically you can take your old hard drive and it'll read and verify everything. And then it'll read, verify, and then rewrite it to the block. And so it puts it basically a fresh copy on there. And so, that may increase, data integrity over long periods of time. If you do that every couple of years, because theoretically, the hard drive is going to continue breaking down, and it might get to the point where it might not be able to read something that was written a decade ago.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Anyway, right. That is way more information than you wanted, and you take the first 10% and get busy copying, get your copy of Unstoppable Copier and your new drive, and get that thing all copied over, and then we'll take it from there. So.
Yeah. Well, I've still got the original shows on CD until. Well, actually, for the last couple of years, I've been recording straight to a thumb drive there in the studio, so I don't have CDs, so that doesn't serve as that 3-2-1, one of the places. But a lot of them I still have on hard copy CDs, so I'm not too worried about losing.
Well, you know, the geographical location, you can just dig a hole in the ground out in your yard, and that counts. So, just saying.
Just make sure it's waterproof. I had some equipment destroyed today by irrigation water.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Are there some boxes that would survive the apocalypse?
You're asking the wrong guy.
I'll see if I can. There's a YouTuber who. He died of pancreatic cancer this spring, but he was a prepper, and so he did the test. He buried, things that a prepper would want, firearms, food, drink, and things. And he buried them for a decade and in several different types of containers and to see which ones were successful. So I'll see if I can find the thing and forward that to you. But he has a very Shatner dry sense of humor, which is kind of fun.
That's fine.
But he's buried the box. So,
okay.
All right, it's got to be zombie proof too. Yeah,
because that's right.
The zombie apocalypse is one of the possibilities. So,
that you need your KD&K recordings to survive.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, thanks for calling in, Luke.
All right. You're welcome.
Yep. Take care, man.
Bye.
All right. Well, looks like we have like put another perfectly good episode of Geek Speak in the can here,
yeah,
as they say. So,
yeah, we're going to have to open it up to philosophy and cooking and and child rearing.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, you know, before the outro music comes on, but we should just talk about, I want everybody to know that Google is building its own nuclear reactor. So that may scare you. It may give you comfort. I don't know.
Yeah, get them off the grid. It'll be fine.
There you go. And, well, it is in Tennessee. So, you know, and we're a long ways from Tennessee. But still, I don't know. Computer companies building nuclear reactors. I mean, just getting the fissile material is, I mean, you got to be above reproach just to get the material, right?
Right.
I mean, so.
Yeah, they got rid of the do no harm. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah, let's see what are some other. Oh, there's the music. So,
all right, you've been listening to Geek Speak on KD&K. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, it looks like we'll be back on September 1st.
Okay. And I might be phoning in, but I'll be here.
We'll figure it out by then.
Virtually or real or whatever. So, in the meantime, do not touch your knob.